the following is a presentation of DRG Media Group Sports.
The official voice of the Peer Governors, DRG Media Group.
Peer Governor Wrestling on 1060 AM and 103.1 FM KGFX is brought to you by
Bank West, Lynn's Dakota Mart, Fisher Rounds and Associates, First Dakota National Bank, the May Adam Law Firm, and the Corner Station and the Crossing.
Governor Wrestling is brought to you by
Beck Motors, Dakota Storm Roofing, Dairy Queen, Live Ticket, Overhead Door, Ranky Gray Wealth Management, Avera Orthopedics, Gateway Ford, Lincoln Toyota, and Kruger Contracting.
And Governor Wrestling is brought to you in part by
Oahe Federal Credit Union, TMA, Adventera, Kathy Sunshine Properties, Gator's Pizza, Pasta, and Subs, Dakota Plains Federal Credit Union, Bauman Lumber, Lariat Lanes, Wagner Auto, Capital City Campus, the Brittany Shufflebine Agency, Birding Electric, and Venture Communications.
These special in-game sponsors bring you Governor Wrestling.
Becky Potsuba State Farm Insurance, the South Dakota Office of Highway Safety, Montana Dakota Utilities, the South Dakota Attorney General's Office, Division of Consumer Protection, Lynn's Dakota Mart of Fort Pierre, AgTegra, CHS River Plains, Bauman Lumber, and Wagner Auto.
Now, Peer Governor Wrestling.
Well, thank you very much, and a very good evening, everybody. A night of high school wrestling and girls basketball coming up this evening on 1060 KGFX, 103.1 FM. Brian Oakland here to call both the Governor Wrestlers on the mat against the Mitchell Colonels, and we'll also have Peer Governor girls basketball against the Huron Tigers coming up a little bit later on. If we get you set for high school wrestling, you got the Peer Governors coming in their final regular season event of the year. It is a dual matchup within the ESD against the Mitchell Colonels. Governors are 10-3 on the season in duels, 5-2 within the ESD. Mitchell struggling a little bit, maybe more than what most folks expected this season, but they're 8-7 in duels, 2-3 within the ESD. Of course, both teams out of Region 3A, they'll see each other in the region tournament in about a week and a half, but they'll tune up for that region tournament with this one duel coming up here tonight at Riggside Gym, with Trinity Pearson in studio and Jordan Luttmer running live ticket video streaming, which you can get through drgnews.com. I'm Brian Oakland. We'll be joined by Coach John Calda in a little bit as well to give you coverage of Governor Wrestling. But let's open with a two-minute timeout in our pregame, which is brought to you by the folks of the Becky Potts of a State Farm Insurance Agency in Pierre. We'll come back and have a conversation with head coach Sean Lewis about this match and about what has happened in the last week or so in Governor Wrestling, and of course starting lineups and more coming up in our pregame show for Governor Wrestling on the way. 1060 KGFX live streaming at drgnews.com.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $885. The team at Potsuba State Farm in Pierre and Gregory are ready to help you combine home and auto and save. Call 224-4173 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported saving by switching to State Farm. There's an app for everything, including high school sports from the stations of DRG Media Group. Download the DRG News app brought to you by the Golden Buffalo Casino from the App Store or Google Play. It takes only a moment, so you'll have it in time for this game. See live and archived video of all games. And when you select your favorite station during the live stream, the video will immediately pop up. See Central South Dakota high school sports on your phone or mobile device with the DRG News app brought to you by the Golden Buffalo Casino. Download it now at the App Store or Google Play.
From the early days of South Dakota statehood through today's digital revolution, BankWest has remained committed to helping customers and communities succeed. BankWest Associates uphold this commitment by developing innovative products, tailoring financial solutions to customer needs, and actively supporting community causes. For a bank committed to helping you and your community prosper, choose BankWest. BankWest. Convenient. Connected. Committed. Member FDIC.
Gateway Ford Lincoln Toyota is proud to introduce our new subprime specialist, Stevie Spears. Tell everybody what you can do for him.
I am the subprime specialist, so no matter what your credit is, you know, good, bad, got some challenges, have never had a loan, I'm the person to go to. I will try to get you pre-approved before you come into the dealership so you know you're not coming here waiting hours. I can help you get into a vehicle with little to no down.
Welcoming Stevie Spears to the family at Gateway Ford Lincoln Toyota in Pier, 518 East Sioux Avenue. Give us a call, 605-224-7378, and be sure to visit gatewayfordtoyota.com.
Back at Riggs High Gym as Governor Wrestling's coming up, and there's nothing like Careless Whisper by Wham that makes you want to wrestle. I don't know how that one got in on the PA system, but Brian Oakland here is, we remind you, by the way, on your way to and from high school sporting events, the South Dakota Office of Highway Safety says to buckle up, and that snow means slow. We don't have a lot of snow, but remember to slow down in case of winter driving conditions and buckle up every trip, every time, the South Dakota Office of Highway Safety. We're going to start our pregame with a conversation with head coach Sean Lewis and our coaches' conversations and keys to success in our Becky Potsuba broadcast, the State Farm Insurance Agency, brought to you by Central Dakota Eye Care. Should also mention that we originate our broadcast from the Hughes County Sheriff's Office broadcast booth. Thanks to the men and women for the sheriff's office and all first responders for doing what they do, and also for giving us a place to originate our broadcast from the Hughes County Sheriff's Office broadcast booth. Let's talk with the coach, see what he has to say.
All right, let's talk keys to success here. Wrestling duel, the final one of the night, the final regular season event for the Pierre Governor Wrestlers. We talk with Coach Sean Lewis off of a couple of duels last week, last time you and I talked in Huron, the Watertown and Huron duels. It was a night where I think, especially in that Watertown duel, not the best night. You called the guys a little bit flat, and certainly that might have been the case. I think you had a pretty good performance for the guys that wrestled over the weekend in Yankton, though, and I guess how are you feeling coming into this final week of the regular season?
Yeah, that our guys who performed in Yankton, I mean, we really stepped it up. You know, we saw our actual guys out there, not the flat guys like, you know, we saw that Thursday night, so... You know, I think we really rebounded well on Friday in practice. We just kind of put a lot on them, saying, you know, ultimately for a lot of you, this is your season and you're to the end of it, and so you need to start taking some more responsibility. And then, you know, on Monday yesterday, I thought we had probably one of our best practices of the year. Got after it, super focused from the beginning all the way to the end, and, you know, then tried to remind a lot of them, like, hey, you know, seniors, it's your last chance in this gym. And, you know, when you think you're out there and you're wrestling by yourself, you know, the rest of you guys got to remember that you're wrestling for these seniors, and you're showing them out and getting them out the door, and you want them on a positive note, and, you know, try to let them know that for a majority of them also, like, hey, we've been in your corner since the second grade. You know, you mean a whole lot to us, and so we want you to end it right, not, you know, by chance have the downfall that we had on Thursday night.
With that Yankton roster that you had, I mean, a lot of guys were missing because just too many weigh-ins, which you talked about the previous night before that. But I think with what you had that faced the Rapid City Stevens and the Watertown wrestlers once again, I mean, some of the top competition that you're really going to have to deal with, what did you see from them? And really also, in addition to that, how healthy are you coming into this last weekend?
You know, I think we've done a really good job getting healthy. We finally got Hayden Schaefer back in practice yesterday. So, I mean, we're gearing up to where the healthiest that we'll have been all year is going to be at the region tournament, which, I mean, you can't ask for anything else. That's ultimately what you're striving for to get to that point in the season. And, you know, I thought our guys who stepped in Yanks the tournament did a great job. Jackson Sharon battled hard at 138. Hudson Schaefer battled really hard at 132. Heath Martmoss stepped in at 160. You got to see some other JV guys got in. Lucas Coleman got in at heavyweight and placed. You know, Lincoln Huska got in at 113 and did a fantastic job, you know, battling through some matches. And it's just great to get those guys experience. And then on top of it, I mean, you saw our guys rebound a whole lot from Thursday night. You saw our guys, you know, like Noah Williams wrestled the same guy. And instead of losing by major, loses a one-point match. So, I mean, those kind of matches, we know exactly where we're at and that we should have been in those matches. And
that only reaffirmed it by our performance on Saturday.
All right, maybe some bad taste in your mouth cleared away. You talked about your seniors earlier. Tonight is senior night for your guys. You'll have them honored at halftime of the girls' basketball game. But, yeah, the seniors that you've got a pretty good representation that should be honored tonight.
Yeah, you know, Hayden Schaefer's been hurt for us on and off this year. You know, been a staple in our program since he was 7th, 8th grader. Blake Judson, the guy's been a workhorse for us, just an absolute stud in the room and on the mat. I mean, you're talking about a guy who you're like, hey, I wish everybody could practice like that guy practices. I mean, he's it. And, you know, Nate and Noah Williams as well, they've just been around the program through their brothers and everything, so I feel like I've known them since they were babies. And then you got Kylan Horsley, again, another kid who's been with us forever, you know, not able to make it into the varsity lineup, but he stuck with it. He's done the deal. We've got him some varsity matches here and there. We're just super happy at what he brings to our program with positive attitude, leadership for the young kids. And then here you got Marcos Tafoya, which it was kind of nice to get the last Tafoya into the mix. It was, you know, we've had between Pedro and Daniel, we've had a Tafoya in our room for the better part of 6-7 years, and this was going to be the first year without one. And then Marcos comes out as a senior and, you know, it's like, hey, I want a taste of this. I've never done it. And so, you know, to be able to get him in the program, in the room, you know, teach him what we've taught him, it's just, it's kind of nice to have that family atmosphere going around.
And those guys in the JV room, regardless of how old they are, I mean, those, they're the ones that are pushing and sparring against the guys who are showing, you know, kind of leading the way out here.
Yeah, they're doing the work in the room just the same as every other kid is. So it's not like any one, you know, more than the other. They all got different roles. They all got different spaces where, you know, they come in and enter into wrestling. And so you just try to do what you can with the short time that you have with them and then send them off into adulthood, hopefully a better person than when they came in.
All right, you're finishing the regular season with the Mitchell Colonels here tonight, a team that still has a lot of big names. I don't know that they've had the success that they expected or that anybody really expected this season. They're kind of back in the pack, but still a good team to finish with and still a team that's going to get you if you're not ready.
Yeah, you know, ultimately at the beginning of the year, it was a duel that I circled because I thought that they'd be one of the teams that's up in the pack. But, you know, even with their, I mean, they've got like 8 seniors, so you just kind of expected a little more from them, and they've faltered here and there with some illnesses and some injuries. But, you know, their team is still looking to make some noise. And when you've got 8 seniors in your squad like they do, they've got the capability, so not one that we can overlook anytime.
Big keys to success against the Colonels tonight?
You know, we need to come out and wrestle well from whistle to whistle. We got to come out flat and go after people, and I think if you can see us scoring first points, you're going to see us scoring a lot of points. And if we're, you know, going to hang back and get scored on, I think it's going to be a long night. So I think real early in matches, you'll be able to tell which team's coming out.
All right, Coach, go wrestle well and get some momentum going into the postseason here.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
And that's Sean Lewis, the head coach of the Peer Governors, with Coach's comments and keys to success that are brought to you by Central Dakota Eye Care in Peer. We'll be a little bit rushed there, ready to get going here into our face-offs on the mat here at Riggs High Gym. So let's give you the starting lineups of tonight's Governor duel with the Mitchell Colonels. The Governor's taking on the Colonels here. They've seen each other in a couple of tournaments so far, but this will be, of course, the first and only time they'll duel each other here in this regular season. Starting lineups are brought to you by Envirotech in Pier, and we'll just run down each weight class as the matchups that we expect here tonight. At 106 pounds, Alex Odakoven, the 8th grader for the Governors, the reigning Pier Area Coaches Association Athlete of the Week for boys sports. He'll take on Spencer Aldean, the senior from Mitchell, at 16-11. At 113 pounds, the 8th grader is Lincoln Schoenhardt taking on Cruz Alheiser. He is a junior for the Colonels at 120 pounds. Noah Williams, the senior, will take on junior Caleb Hubbard of the Mitchell Colonels. Up to 126 pounds, where senior Nate Williams will go against 7th grader Penn Long. Long just 8-24, learning on the fly for the Colonels this season. At 132, It'll be Tristan Spencer, the sophomore for the Governors, taking on a good one. Brock Sparks, the senior for Mitchell, 26-5 on the season, having an outstanding year for the Colonels. At 138 pounds, the senior is Blake Judson. He'll be back on the mat tonight after taking the weekend off in the Yankton Invitational. Judson's opponent is Brandon Sparks, the senior for Mitchell. He's 20-12. Judson, by the way, is 36-5 on the season. At 145 pounds, I think Chase Sarda will still wrestle, although Hayden Schaefer, according to Coach Lewis, is back in the wrestling room. Sarda, 27-15 on the season. He'll take on Jagger Tyler, a very good one, a junior, at 28-2 on the season. It is Chase Sarda wrestling at 145, as Ryan Munson announces here at Rigside Gym. At 152 pounds, Tucker Villhauer, the senior for the Colonels, will go against the junior, Deegan Huska, 20-10 for the Governors. At 160 pounds, then, it'll be, we'll see who Mitchell announces here. Connor Thielen, 16-19 on the year, has been wrestling in place of Riley McGinnis. Jaden Wiebe, 23-17, the junior for the Governors, will go. At 170, it is senior Kendall Fick for the Colonels against sophomore Lucas Chamberlain. And then at 182, probably the best wrestler for the Colonels, Joe Van Overshield, the senior, 20-1 on the year, as he'll take on Chance Sarda. And then at 195, sophomore is Seth Foote, taking on, we'll presume to be Ryland Schrake, the sophomore at 195 for the Governors, as Gavin Stotts may move up. Yep, Ryland Schrake will wrestle at 195. Gavin Stotts will move up to 220 pounds, the junior for the Governors. He'll take on Connor Deegan, the sophomore for the Colonels. And finally, at 285 pounds, again, very good wrestler, and he's been in state championship matches. Bo Foote, the senior, at 27-1, will take on Joshua Rydberg. The senior for the Governors is 25-17. Those are the Envirotech starting lineups, and our MAT officials brought to you by the South Dakota Attorney General's Office and their Division of Consumer Protection. Steve Rounds and Chris Dozark will alternate matches, as they've done in the JV matches. The Governors are head coached by Sean Lewis. The Colonels by Andy Everson. Those are the starting lineups and the MAT officials, the law on the court here in our Governor pregame. We wrestle in 90 seconds.
Don't become an online shopping victim. Scammers are using email and text messages as a way to obtain account information. Subject lines range from delivery problems to express delivery notification. Scammers often use well-known names such as Amazon, Walmart, and Costco, to name a few. If you get an unexpected message, don't click on any of the links. Go to the company directly to find answers. If you have questions about this or other scams, contact the South Dakota Consumer Protection Division, 1-800-300-1900.
Fontana Dakota Utilities' slogan, "In the community to serve," goes beyond providing safe and reliable natural gas service. MDU and our dedicated employees are committed to the communities they serve, work, and live, just like the dedicated area students and coaches are committed to having the best season possible. Best of luck for a successful season to all area teams from Montana Dakota Utilities, proud to sponsor the area youth.
There's one place to watch Peer Governor Sports online, and that's LiveTicket.tv. GoGovs Live is where you can find Peer Governor Sports online. And the folks at Live Ticket thank all of the sponsors that help make sure that it's all brought to you for free. And if you'd like to sponsor Peer Governor Sports, just call Live Ticket at 833-605-LIVE. That's 833-605-LIVE. Peer Governor Sports. Watch them online with Live Tickets.
And welcome back to Riggs High Gym as we get set to wrestle. Final night of the regular season, and joined by head coach John Calda of the Peer Middle School program. And, Coach, I tell you what, nothing goes faster than a wrestling season, it seems. Hard to believe here. We're already at the end of the regular season. There is a week and a half before regions, but an important tune-up for the Governors here tonight.
Yeah, I'd see. We always kind of, you know, talk about the doldrums and the low times of the year, I guess, and it always seems like January 1st and kind of that time, it's like, you know, you look ahead, it's like, oh, we got a month and a half to go, but by the time you know it and all the competitions that are happening, it's already February and we're getting ready for postseason.
Well, our first match of the night is actually at 145 pounds here, so Chance Sarda will go against Jagger Tyler, and then we'll wrestle up through 285 pounds all the way back to the 106 and up through 138. So Blake Judson and Brandon Sparks will be the final match of the evening. But Jagger Tyler draws first blood. Tyler just two losses on the season against 28 victories, and Chase Sarda, obviously been doing a lot of good things. And Coach Lewis says Hayden Schaefer's back in the wrestling room. Hopefully he's back and ready to go for the regions. Obviously you kind of need a Hayden Schaefer, but boy, how nice has it been to have a Chase Sarda in the room this season?
Yeah, I tell you, both starters right now, I mean, they're dangerous. And I mean, that's kind of my best perspective of them, is that you just never know, you know, when they're going to pull something big off, and they're never out of a match, whether they're down 13 points, they're up, you know, 8, there's always seem like there's some fireworks that come from them too.
So Jagger Tyler is kind of going and just getting better and better as the season goes here. He's got Sarda turned over, and I think Coach Matt Official Steve Rounds, he counted 4 seconds, so a 2-second near fall, so a 4-0 lead now, and we've got 40 seconds to go here in the first period. First match is at 145. Colonels and the Governors. Coach Lewis said he kind of circled this date on the schedule when we came into the season, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't been the season that a lot. I mean, they have a lot of great records, the Colonels, but they've got some sub 500 records, and it just hasn't been the season that I'm guessing what they expected, but not really what I've expected either.
No, I think that's everybody. I think they're a little shocked. You know, Everson coming in and just with his kind of high power, you know, what I would say wrestling offense, what you want to call it. But he's just got a lot of good strengths. And, you know, we talked, I think, a couple years ago when he first came in, and we were expecting just that to keep continuing building and building. Like you said, good records, but the duel just ain't showing right now.
A good first period here. Actually, Tyler had Sarda turned over once again, but only for 2 seconds, not for 3. So he's got a 4-0 lead as we'll go to the second period. Again, Matt Official, Steve Rounds in this one. Chris Dozark along for a look as well. Our Matt Officials are the law on the mat in this case. Thanks to all game officials for officiating high school sports. I thank them because it's oftentimes a thankless job, and somebody's got to do it, no doubt about that. Second period starts with Tyler in the down, and it is Chase Sarda. And now Tyler has worked his way into a reversal. He'll take control here. I think Jagger Tyler from 1 year to the next is he's shown obviously a lot of great improvement. I think he was a great wrestler last year, but still might be one of the most improved wrestlers they have this year.
Yeah, let's not lose sight on what Mitchell has. I mean, mm-hmm. Again, you go back to the coach, you go back to, you know, even though their dual record isn't where we want, or what, sorry, not we, but where they want to be right now. But, you know, he's still going to put, you know, best kids on the mat, and he's going to make sure that they're ready to go. And, you know, reason Coach Lewis circled this date is because we're expecting a pretty good competition, even though, again, kind of looking at their record, it doesn't necessarily look that way on paper.
Oddly enough, it wasn't this date that would have been circled. It was last Thursday,
sure,
when this match was, when this duel was originally supposed to be held. Sarda wrestling defensively here against Tyler after Tyler reverses him for a 2-point advance. He leads 6-0 as they go out of bounds. Live video streaming through drgnews.com. Thanks to Live Ticket is available. You're seeing Chase Sarda get down on his knees. He'd be facing you, Tyler, with the left hand wrapped around as well. As they get going again, spotlight on the mat in the middle of Riggs High Gym. 35 seconds to wrestle, second period. But again, you talk more about Mitchell, and I don't think they'll make the state dual tournament, but this is a team that Peer faced in the 4-5 match in the state dual tournament first round last year.
Yep.
Mitchell right now, and we didn't get a look a time to look at the seedings, but the Governor's coming into tonight's action, the number 5 seed with a 10-3 mark overall, just ahead behind of Harrisburg, ahead of T Area in the 6th seed. Tyler's got Chase Sarda rolled again. And 5 seconds for 3 back points right at the end there. And Jagger Tyler's been doing a lot of work from up and under here so far. It seems to be, I don't know, I don't want to call it unconventional, but not what you would normally see from some really offensive-minded wrestlers.
No, I mean, I don't think he really wanted to go back to his feet with Sarda, to be quite honest, just with how dangerous he is. But, you know, I think we made a good choice there, going both up and kind of getting him back to where maybe he can score some points and maybe get us some points on the board here. But, you know, I don't know if Everson's going to expect him to open it up this third period and start cutting, taking him down, maybe looking for a tech fall. But he's been doing pretty well on top and getting to his tilt and scoring points there. So we'll see how he finishes this.
Right at the end there, near the edge, another 2-point takedown, and Jagger Tyler leads 9-0, but here is an escape here for Chase Sarda. So he's got his first point of the match, obviously a big hill to climb. We've got a minute and a half to go here. Third period, first match of the night, 145 pounds. Wrestling all the way to the end. We'll come back and finish at 138. There's another Tyler takedown. Clearly this guy scores in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, again, just going back to, he's scoring on top, he's scoring on bottom right now. It's, I mean, he's just looking comfortable wherever he's at.
So we'll see what he can do. And you mentioned technical fall. He would need 3 more points. And, of course, Chase Sarda trying to prevent that. Even right now, you'd want to minimize damage and keep this at a major decision if you can. As Tyler tries to come with the double wing here. Just trying to force him over left to right. Uses his legs to get that over. Boy, that's some good leverage there for Jagger Tyler. This is going to do it with a technical fall. I don't think he can pin him in this hold, but Tyler, how impressive a start here for the Mitchell Colonels. He's got the 3 points he'll need. We're just waiting to see if he gets a pin in this hold. Sarda's still in trouble. Got 20 seconds to go.
That's going to show a lot about Sarda right here as far as how is he going to finish this. And that's exactly what you want to see out of a head coach right there, is not giving up that pin.
So the technical fall with a win of 16-1, and Mitchell will strike first. They lead 5-0 as we'll pause for 30 seconds and head up to 152 pounds next. You're listening to Peer Governor Wrestling.
Dakota Storm Roofing is a locally owned roofing company in Pierre, specializing in both residential and commercial roofing services. They can handle your asphalt shingle, metal roofing, and flat roof needs. New construction, plus all types of roof repairs. They can handle the finishing touches, adding fascia, soffit, and gutters too. No job is too big or too small. For a free estimate, call Dakota Storm Roofing at 280-9794. Go to DakotaStormRoofing.com or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Back at Riggs and I Gym as we go to match number 2 tonight. It is Deegan Huska wrestling at 152 pounds against Tucker Vilhauer of the Mitchell Colonels. And every wrestler is an athlete, coach, but this one's got 2 really good ones going at it, if you ask me.
And it's pretty, I mean, that's pretty common when you look at a wrestling team. And I'm not saying it's all across the board and not putting anybody else down, but it's just that 145 to 152, 160 just seems like it's the guys that they can wrestle like they're 106 pounders, but yet they've got strength like they're 182, 195. And, you know, just these are kind of, like you said, they're usually the athletes.
It's always that good advantage, or that good combination of some size, but still the quickness of the lower weight classes.
Absolutely.
Here. Deegan Huska still battling through some injuries here throughout the season, but what do you think? Getting a little bit stronger here toward the end of the season, Coach Lewis, as everybody's starting to get a little more healthy and maybe starting to get back to the health that they really want going into that postseason.
Yeah, and I think a lot with him has just been getting comfortable with what he's got going on. You know, it's just learning to wrestle with it. You know, it's probably going to hurt. It's probably going to be sore at the end of the day. It's probably going to tire out a little bit. But, you know, again, just learning what can he do, what can he do, how hard can he push it, and just kind of going day to day with him.
Of course, we're talking about this left shoulder as Huska sees Vilhauer seemingly running away from him a little bit, but Huska grabs for that left ankle, got his leg up in the air, and a nice little trip up and a takedown for Deegan Huska, who will strike first. 18 seconds to go, first period. Two guys that record-wise very even. Deegan Huska, 20-10 on the season. Tucker Villhauer, 20-9 for the Colonels. I think these two did wrestle each other in Yankton. Mitchell was there. They placed fourth behind the Governors, who placed third. It was Rapid City Stevens and Watertown placing one and two. Stevens was way out in front, Watertown well behind, and the Governors, who, again, did not wrestle everybody in a full lineup because of essentially because of number of weigh-ins over the course of the season. That's why some guys like Blake Judson were held out in that Governor lineup this past weekend. Villhauer in the up position. It is Deegan Huska down with a 2-0 lead to start our second period. Mitchell leads the duel, though, 5-0 early on here. Just one match done. A technical fall victory for Jagger Tyler over Chase Sardo of the Governors. Sardo falling to 27-16 on the year. Tyler now 29-2. And again, talking about maybe, and I feel like I'm disrespecting them. I certainly don't intend to do that. It's just maybe not what we expected from the Colonels this year, but they're still on the up and up, and they're still coming on strong here, and going to be a problem as Huska gets an escape and leads 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a head coach, you want to try to get out there and win every duel. You want to try to get out there and win every tournament. But, I mean, when people look back 5-6 years from now, they're not going to look at the Yankton tournament and see that we placed, you know, fourth or whatever we ended up in that tournament. You know, they're going to look at the end result. And as long as Coach Lewis, which I know him and all the other guys in the room, they're going to have those guys ready to go for that state tournament. And that's ultimately what matters. And getting the kids' mentality right and getting, you know, just getting them physically healthy, mentally healthy, and just ready to go for those last couple weeks is what's most important.
All right, these two wrestling after going out of bounds will size each other up once again. 3-0, Huska leads. It's one of these matches where you see a lot of evenness, but you just, like Huska did in the end of that first period, you got to pick your spot and take advantage of it, and it was good to see him do that and see if he can do it again here.
Yeah, great reshot on him when he took, you know, Villhauer came in and took a shot, down blocked it, was able to get it in, and what didn't force a shot by any means, just taking what's there and just being patient with what he's given.
18 seconds on the reset again. As they went out of bounds up top, Villhauer tries to get in underneath, and Huska flattening out just a little bit. Now Deegan trying to gain some leverage here in small time, just 2 seconds and one, and our second period will come to an end. So Huska got the escape that he needed, couldn't get anything more, but he still leads 3-0, and this will be Villhauer's choice as he'll go neutral up top. And I think even Villhauer now going neutral just to try to see if he can score a little bit quicker rather than having to start in a down position.
Yeah, I mean, even with an escape, you get a takedown, and it's still going to be tied up from there. He's probably going to have to look at cutting Huska anyway and score 2 takedowns, so why even waste energy on bottom and just going and just trying to get your 2 takedowns from there? And, you know, obviously I like position that Deegan's in. He looks like he's feeling pretty comfortable out there, and he'll look to attack here whenever there's an opening.
Another reset. We're at 1:30. In the third period now, Huska and Villhauer. Deegan still seems to be putting some wins together here of late, though. Again, 20-10 on the season. Villhauer tried to come in, and he gets underneath, and that's a nice takedown there as they'll go out of bounds. Villhauer with his first 2 of the match. Trails 3-2, and like you said, he'll cut him loose right away. And as we reset, that's a 1-point escape and a nice comeback here as Deegan Huska gets 2 legs and a quick takedown. I don't think Tucker was ready for that one.
Nope, not at all. He was thinking he was probably going to get about a 30-second probably break there before he needed to go again. Just came in a little flat on his feet.
And as the score now 6-2, if I'm reading Villhauer's mind there, I'm probably thinking I got to get a quick start on this reset, but Deegan just beat him to the punch.
Yep, absolutely.
So Huska working on top here, legs locked in behind the 2. Whether you can see that or not behind, okay. on the live video streaming. Once again, we are streaming through drgnews.com, gogovs.live, and liveticket.tv. Wrestling duel to start. We've got girls basketball, Pier and Huron later. They're playing the JV match over in the auxiliary gym. Pretty neat way to put a full night of high school sports together here at the Riggs High facility. 10 seconds to go. Huska's going to be able to finish this one off. The Governors get on the board. Mitchell will still have a 5-3 lead, but Deegan Huska with a good response and a 6-2 victory over Villauer. Updated score, Mitchell 5 and the Governors 3. As we pause for another 30 seconds, we'll be right back as we go to 160 next. This is Governor Wrestling.
Finances, retirement, and investments can all be confusing. Even though we have access to an infinite amount of information, often there is a disconnect between what we should do and what we are actually doing. That's why at Ranky Gray Wealth Management, our team has devoted over 35 years to bringing clear advice about reaching financial independence. The information you need and how to apply it is as simple as calling Scott and I at 224-5959 or visit rankygray.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advice offered through GWM Advisors, registered investment advisor. GWM and Ranky Gray Wealth Management are separate entities from LPL Financial.
Here we go to 160 pounds and right on cue. Jaden Wiebe at 160 for the Governors, 23-17, taking on senior Connor Thielen of the Mitchell Colonels. Thielen coming in at 16-19 on the year. Thielen has wrestled some. Riley McGinnis, who's been in the Mitchell room for a number of years, is wrestling some. But Wiebe got that takedown, and now 45 seconds into this match, has his man cradled up. Hasn't been able to rock him over yet. Coach called in our last broadcast, whether you were watching when we were over in Huron or not. I think a little disappointing, I think, with the flatness that Coach Lewis referred to in the Watertown duel. But one guy that really came to wrestle that night was Jaden Wiebe. He had two really impressive matches.
And it's not shocking. You know, just, again, he's an athlete. He's a kid that, he's got speed, quickness, and you know that you like to see that a team at least find that one shining moment or a couple shining moments. You know, even when maybe the team's a little bit flat, you've got these leaders on your team that are still going to rise to the occasion and do what they need to do, and just really like what he's doing this year.
Well, Huska couldn't get him turned over in that cradle, trying a little more painful tactic here. 15 seconds to go. Trying to get that wing over back behind the head, but Connor Thielen holding his own so far. Wiebe working leverage this way, and he got him spun over, but he couldn't hold it. And now Jaden's in a little bit of trouble as the first period comes to an end. Boy, saved by the bell a little bit there.
Yeah, good scramble position. Again, just Wiebe was able to keep his head high in that situation, and head high usually wins in a scramble, and was able to secure it.
Here is Connor Thielen. Will go to the bottom. We'll start the second period. 2-0, Wiebe out in front. Now Jaden's coming into this match as a favored wrestler. He got a quick takedown, but he might be a little frustrated right now not being able to score much at all the rest of that first period for more than a minute and a half there.
Yeah, and he's working hard. I mean, he's got, I think we're going to see this cradle open up for him again. Seems like he's kind of working from that wing to the cradle, wing to the cradle butcher, and I think eventually he's going to find something that's going to be successful here.
Trying to force that head closer to that left knee so he can reach on through, but that's, again, not materializing yet. Pushes him back to the middle. Wiebe up top, obviously maintaining controls for the first 45 seconds of the second period. Started up top, in no danger of losing that position yet. And this 160 and then the 170-pound spot for the Colonels, just a little bit of a rebuilding spot in that Colonel lineup. 50 seconds to go now, second period. 5-3, Colonels lead the Governors in the duel. Technical fall win for Jagger Tyler over Chase Sarda, but Deegan Huska gets a 6-2 win over Tucker Villauer. For the decision in the first 3 points of the night for the Governors. Still a lot of time ticking away. 30 seconds to go now. We're in the second period. Still 2-0. Jaden Wiebe. This might be one of those Thielen, knowing that he might be the underdog, is the one who's got to wrestle defensively, and you got to give credit to him.
Just going
to
go and say that as far as, you know, again, Coach Everson, I guarantee has coached his kids up just like Coach Lewis has coached his kids up on every match is important in a duel. And it's a little bit different than a tournament setting where, you know, we don't want to give up pins. We don't want to give up those majors and so on. So now it's like, okay, get taken down, whatever you can do to not get a pin. You might not be looking to score necessarily, but at least just not getting scored on.
Second period ends with a 2-0 Jaden Wiebe lead. He will stay on his knees right there in the middle of the mat, ready to start the third period in the down position. We'll see if he can get a quick start here. Thielen on top for the first time in the match. And Wiebe able to get to his feet. Thielen's foot up in the air, leg up, and Thielen, or Wiebe, not happy with 1 point on an escape. He gets two on a reversal.
Yeah, I like this call by coaches.
Lets him up once again. Wiebe comes right back, but he misses. He slips out on the hold, and it's a takedown for Thielen instead. Boy, instead of 6-1, now you've got a 4-3 match here.
And it's a danger. There's no doubt about it. But still, I think the confidence there was, I think it was rightfully so, just trusting him that he's going to get a takedown. And again, I can't imagine he's just going to sit back and just sit on bottom here for the last minute either.
Well, he got him spun a little bit, and now Jaden Wiebe out, so he'll add to a lead at 5-3 now with a one-point escape. 1 minute down, one to go, third period. Governor's trying to win their second match in a row. To come off of that tech fall at 145 that Jagger Tyler earned for the Colonels. Governor's in black with the green cummerbunds. Mitchell in white up top, but the black on the bottom. Singlets with the gold M on the front side, and Thielen makes his move, but Jaden Wiebe fights that off, and now Jaden's got the takedown. He'll have a comfortable margin here at 7-3. 20 seconds to go. This is one of those situations, unfortunately, in short time. You don't have a lot of time to make this a major decision, so you just kind of have to ride this out and take your 7-3 decision win. The Governors will take the lead in the duel now. 6-5 in the duel. Victory for Jaden Wiebe. 7-3. We've got a 170-pound match coming up in 30 seconds. This is Governor Wrestling.
Happy New Year from everyone at Beck Motor Company in Pier. New Year with new deals. Get 4 free oil changes with your 4-tire purchase, a $200 value. $15 off Duramax diesel fuel filters. Only $35 for a hand wash and vacuum. Enjoy $15 off a light detail. See all our specials at Beck-Motors.com. Call us at 605-224-5912. Beck Motor Company, Pier.
Back at Riggs High Gym at 170 pounds. This is our fourth match of the night. We started at 145, a 5 o'clock start for high school wrestling. Brian Oakland with Coach John Wayne Calda alongside here. Lucas Chamberlain takes down Kendall Fick, but then lets him up quickly. 2-1 to start here with 125 to go first period. Lucas Chamberlain, the sophomore for the Governors, 26-14 on the year. Fick having some struggles. He's 9-20 on the year. You know, I think what Mitchell has, I recognize the name of Kendall Fick. I recognize the names Connor Thielen, Riley McGinnis, guys that have been in the room. They're trying to take their opportunities here as they get the opportunity to be in the varsity ranks now. But, you know, again, just everybody... Every team has those guys that that are good partners in the room, and I think that's one of the things that just hasn't worked out for Mitchell this year is that the guys who have had to come up and fill the shoes just haven't got the wins that they were hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, it's you talk competition in the room, you talk, you know, you always see them in groups, and you kind of look at their heavyweights for Mitchell. I mean, they're heavier weights. It seems like, you know, you look at the rankings, a lot of those guys are ranked. I think we're going to see some good matchups all the way through heavyweight, and maybe things will kind of open up from there for Pierre. But, yeah, I mean, you got the good kids, you got the good room going on, but sometimes that confidence is an issue even with partners. And as far as, okay, are you pushing your teammate hard enough to get them to excel, and it comes back? And are you giving them those match-like situations to where, you know, once they get to the prime time, are they able to do what they're expected to do?
Chamberlain, in the meantime, working on another takedown, so he's got a 4-1 lead. 4 seconds to go. We're just at the end of the first period. Governor's on top of the Colonels now, 6-5 in the duel. And there's the end of the first period. Once again, take a look at these rankings. We mentioned the Governors have slipped to 5. Harrisburg has passed them. Harrisburg 17-4 on the season. Brandon Valley perfect at 15-0, but they're the number 3 seed, still behind Watertown 10-0, and Rapid City Stevens, who is 10-2. And one of Stevens' losses, of course, right here at Riggs High in the East-West duels to Brandon Valley. Chamberlain slips out, gets a 1-point escape to start the second period. He'll now lead 5-1. I tell you what, Coach, you still look at these power rankings, and despite the loss for the Govs to Watertown last week, Watertown's still in number 1. Pierre is still in the 4-5 matchup. I think they still like that matchup with Harrisburg as Chamberlain scores another 2, leads 7-1. You'd really love to see Watertown stay in that number 1 spot if you're Pierre, as opposed to having to match up maybe in the semis against a Brandon Valley or a Rapid City Stevens, who right now are on a collision course to meet up in the semis.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think Pierre and Coach Lewis and those guys would love to see that matchup again. I think they felt like they left a lot of points on the mat that night against Watertown, and feel like that would be a little bit different outcome next time they do wrestle. And I think just getting on that opposite side of Brandon Valley right now is going to be key to, you know, wherever we do, you know, end up as far as the dual rankings go.
7-2 here as Chamberlain led up his man Kendall Fick a second time. 45 seconds to go. Third period, Fick comes in. There's one problem with that theory, though, as Chamberlain will score another 2. 9-2 after that takedown. The problem is Brandon Valley and Watertown duel each other on Thursday night.
Oh, they still got that duel left.
They do.
So things could change a little bit.
Yep, very much so. That'll be a duel with these Mitchell Colonels as well. In a triangular, Brandon Valley is dueling Brookings and Harrisburg tonight. Harrisburg will get both of those teams, Brandon Valley and Brookings. So you might see Harrisburg move out of the 4 spot, depending on how things go, or they might just very well stay there. Brookings, by the way, is a 7 seed right now with a 6-2 mark. They've been dueling quite well this year. Chamberlain trying to get his man on his back once again, but here with 1 second to go in the second period, Lucas Chamberlain's just been scoring at a very efficient clip. He's got a 9-2 lead here. One whistle, one horn. We'll go to the third. The choice belongs to the Mitchell wrestler. Fick is going to stay in the down, but Chamberlain, he's not happy with that. He wants to go from his feet again, so he'll let Kendall Fick up, give him 1 point for an escape. Updates the score at 9-3. Chamberlain already with 4 takedowns. I think it's 4 takedowns. I don't think he scored any back points,
no,
as we've been chatting about other things during this match.
And this is where Lucas is comfortable. More points from his feet. I think he knows that if he can go feet to back, it's going to help the team point out a little bit.
Oh, and just like that, Fick rolled right into it. Takedown here for Chamberlain makes it 11-3. There's a major margin, and now we've got a whistle. And that was an official's timeout. I'm not sure. I don't know if the officials thought there was blood or not, but they checked the situation, and Chris Dozark says, well, let's reset. Fick quickly up to his feet, but there he goes back as Chamberlain throws him back gently. Now into a cradle, and Lucas Chamberlain starts to score. And he'll get 3. There were 5 seconds counted there, so 14-3, Lucas Chamberlain. Chamberlain again in a match that he's favored in, but still, I've been saying it all year. We talked about maybe Jagger Tyler's, just speculating, being one of Mitchell's more improved wrestlers from one year to the next, and that that honor in the peer wrestling room's got to belong to Lucas Chamberlain.
Yeah, I mean, we've always been pretty, how do I say, not, let's just say we're not shocked with him. He's always been a kid that just stays in really good position. He's got a little bit unorthodox style with, you know, how he wants to keep getting into his underhooks, and he kind of leaves himself open a little bit, but he's just always in control no matter where it's at, he seems. And he's another kid that's dangerous. You know, we talk about the Sardis being dangerous and being able to put a guy feet to back from any situation. I mean, he's one of those guys as well. And again, looking at a sophomore wrestling in an upper weight class, that's tough to do. That's not an easy feat by any means.
Here is he'll let his man free. Still has a 10-point margin. 15 seconds to go. You know, and Lucas, I imagine he was basically asking Coach Lewis, do you want to kind of play him a little bit loose, or should we just stay tight? I'm sure he's probably a question asker in the wrestling room to learn more all the time.
Yep. He knows that he's obviously out there as a team and not individual-wise, and he's going to do whatever's going to help the team. So, good kid.
One final takedown for Chamberlain. The final score in that match, 16-4. Another good match for Lucas. He'll improve to 27-14 on the year. Score on the Wagner Auto scoreboard after four matches. The Governors now lead the Mitchell Colonels by the score of 10-5. As we'll keep it here, scoreboard from Wagner Auto Company and Pier, the one place to go. Ryan Oakland with John Wayne Call, the Trinity Pearson in studio. We've got Jordan Luttmer doing camera work as well. As per usual, at 182 pounds, the Colonels have just once beaten Joe Van Overshield. He'll take on Chance Sarda, the sophomore for the Governors. Van Overshield strikes first, and a takedown gives him a 2-0 lead. Van Overshield, one of the tops, and you know, if Lucas Chamberlain is a much improved wrestler, perhaps Chance Sarda is too. But I'm coming to know, and I think Governor fans are too, that this is one guy you just don't blink when he's on the wrestling mat, because he can make things happen in a hurry.
No, he's exciting. There's no doubt about it.
But Van Overshield certainly is not somebody you're going to surprise very often. 1:10 to go after they went out of bounds. First period, 2-0. Joe Van Overshield. You talk about these athletes through the middle weight classes, I would venture to say this guy is, he might be the best athlete in that whole high school at Mitchell High. This guy's a stud.
Yeah, he's been fun to watch kind of develop into what he is right now as far as a wrestler goes. Obviously, he's successful on the football field and such, but just the power, the quickness, just the size, and being able to put that all together on the mat has been pretty phenomenal. He's had a pretty good career here.
Good grip on the wrist of Chance Sarda, working through the legs to try to then use that arm to pull over, or to pull him over near the near edge of the circle. This is pretty much what Jagger Tyler was working to his advantage in that first match of the night. Runs out of room, though. Can't keep Sarda in space, and he'll have to come back to the middle to try it again. 2-0, Van Overshield leading. 25 seconds to wrestle first period. Mitchell, by the way, their seeding right now has them in the 12th spot with that 8-7 mark. And Van Overshield has Sarda on his back. Chance looked a little lifeless there at first, but he does get rolled back over.
And there's a situation, you know, Sarda's out there to win a match right now, I think. And in his mind, it's like, if I can catch him in one spot, I'm going to take an advantage and try to catch him in a spot. And he made an attempt there, didn't work out for him, but again, you know, he's looking for points any way he can get them.
So 3 points to close out that period gives Van Overshield a 5-0 lead. Chance Sarda's choice, but he'll defer. And Joe V will go to his knees. He'll work from the down, quickly turns around, and has a chance at not one but two. And there it is. 2-point reversal, and Sarda ends up right on his back. Boy, we talk about feet to back when you start neutral, but that was as almost dominating of a of a knee to back reversal.
Yeah, just sheer power.
It's very impressive. 2 points on the reversal, 7-0. 3 back points are pending here as Van Overschild continues to work. They'll be awarded now, 10-0. Van Overschild looking real strong.
You know, big focus on, you know, obviously in any position, just keeping your head up. And that's one of those situations where, you know, just Sauter just kind of had, you know, got caught in a moment, head was down a little bit. You know, Van Overschild exposed that, was able to see it and come up with something big there.
Another two on the back from Chance Sauter, taken by Van Overschild, now leading 12-0. 44 seconds counting down. Here in our second period, it's all Van Overschild so far in this one. Chase Sauter, Chance Sauter, the two of them both doing a lot of great things, but they've unfortunately been matched up against two of the best in South Dakota at their respective weight classes so far here tonight. Governors have won 3 matches in a row. They lead 10-5 in the duel. But Van Overschild in command here so far. Sauter trying to minimize damage now. We're in the final seconds of period number two, and we'll go to the third. And it'll be Sarda's choice. He'll take to the down. Like how they're working this out with these officials, Dozark and Rounds, two guys that have done a lot of officiating over the years, and I'm sure we'll see them both at the state tournament again.
Yeah, it's neat to see them in this kind of an event working together. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of times you're looking at maybe one ref, you don't have an assistant ref, but to have two of the best, in my mind, at least in Central South Dakota, if not in the state, working the same. I mean, they're a really good crew together.
And the fact that they're alternating matches rather than one of them taking all 14, I don't know if that's adjustments that coaches have to make. I mean, one guy calls this way, the other guy calls it the other
it
way.
Is. I mean, wrestlers, I mean, it's a lot of time. We were talking to our middle school kids today about we got our state tournament coming up this weekend and put a plug in for that. We're just talking to them about the refs, you know, try to find, you know, something about that ref that you can notice about them, whether it's a quick whistle. If, you know, are they calling stalling for some reason? Are they calling stalemates quickly? And it's, you know, try to use that to your advantage a little bit. It's a little bit tougher when you got, you know, the alternating refs in this match because, again, everybody works a little bit differently.
Well, and I suppose looking at it that way, as Van Overschild continues to work 12-0, he gets a little bored, so he'll let Sauter up, try to start over. 40 seconds to go. You know, but the next time the Governors wrestle and Mitchell's got Thursday night and then they're done with their regular season and then a week and a half away, you're going to have a different official in every match because it's going to be region tournament time.
Absolutely. And the mindset changes even if the ref, and it shouldn't, but you've got a lot of judgmental calls in the sport of wrestling. And, you know, sometimes in a dual format, things are a little bit different. You get to the regions and state, you know, they're looking for a little bit more high potent kind of offense. They want a lot more action. They want to give the fans a little bit something to look at. And I think their mentality changes a little bit as well.
That's two for Van Overschild on the near edge. And then he'll let Sauter up again. He's looking for more. Got a 12-point lead now. 15 seconds to go. Van Overschild really wants to get him down on his back quickly here. Like Jagger Tyler four weight classes ago, looking for a potential technical fall. Here's a stalling warning to Chance Sauter, who was perhaps thinking the same thing, knowing what Van Overschild's looking for, but that'll do it. 14-2, the final in this one, but a major decision pulls Mitchell within one. It's the Governor's 10, the Colonel's 9. We'll go to 195 in 30 seconds. You're listening to Peer Governor Wrestling.
chances are you're overlooking a big energy thief in your home or commercial building, the garage doors. But Overhead Door Company of Pierre can help stop that energy waste with a full range of insulated, weather-tight garage doors. Their residential garage doors can give you insulated performance at an uninsulated price. And their Thermacore insulated steel doors give commercial buildings the energy efficiency they demand today. Find out more. Call Overhead Door Company of Pierre at 1-800-649-9905 and put a stop to the garage door energy thief.
Back at Rick's High, and for the Governors at 195 pounds, welcome Ryland Schrake, 16-10 on the season. He'll take on Seth Foote. Foote, the sophomore for the Colonels, at 9-13 so far. And Ryland Schrake goes right to work, and he'll get a couple of back points to go along with it. Schrake will have to break free himself, so he'll award a one-point escape here to Seth Foote. Coach called it. Ryland Schrake, you've got it one at 220. You've got Elijah Bucci continuing to deal with this hip injury. We saw Gavin Stotts and Yankton wrestling up, and Ryland Schrake suddenly putting some wins together in his chances to wrestle in tournaments over the season. And I'm not sure what's going to happen with EJ. What do you know about that? Are we going to have to see this Schrake-Stotts combo, or is it going to be Stotts and then Bucci coming up toward the end of the season?
I don't know much, but I tell you what, I know whatever the situation is right now, I mean, they're going to wrestle the guys that are out there, and if it happens to be Schrake coming forward, he's getting some great competition, great matchups right now that I think he's building some confidence. One thing I've noticed about him is he's getting a little bit leaner. He's getting a little bit stronger. He's been working hard in the weight room right now and able to put some good matches together.
Another takedown, and now he's using that chicken wing to get him over into the I think Schrake might have – we've got blood time out here. It almost looked like Ryland Schrake brought that knee up, and I think he inadvertently busted him in the chops a little bit here.
A lot of movement going on there with the bottom guy's kicking and trying to get off his back.
Schrake actually gets 3 points on that near fall, so he leads 9-1, but we've got blood and timeouts and Governor broadcasts on KGFX of any kind, whether they're bloody or not, are brought to you by Actegra. Actegra says acres ahead maximizes your farm's earning potential straight from the start. So contact your local Actegra cooperative today. That's a good point. Ryan Munson on PA reminding us it is senior night. We did talk to Coach Lewis about the seniors. The Governor wrestlers will be honored at halftime of our girls basketball half of the doubleheader of Governor Sports coming up tonight. Governor girls basketball players will be noted and recognized before that game starts. Coach Lewis talked about the seniors, Nate, Noah Williams. You've got Blake Judson. And looking down the list here, you might have to help me remember who else we were talking about here.
But
certainly Hayden Schaefer. And then Kylan Horsley and Marcus DeFoya in the wrestling room. But Coach also mentioned Faith Manu, who is one of the he just calls them the mother hen in the in the room, because these student managers that the Governors have had over the years, and they just do all the dirty work and so underappreciated without being formally recognized as Faith in this case will be tonight.
Yeah, to me it's a thankless job. I mean, they get to make the trips, getting up early in the morning, you know, and they're going to the duels, coming home late at night, and just taking care of all the things that most of the other people don't want to take care of, and we appreciate every single one of them, whether it's in, you know, wrestling, basketball, it doesn't matter. They all have a big, big role in the sports as a whole up here.
Ryland Schrake continues to impress. I got another 2-point takedown here as we're underway in the third period, down to the 105 mark in the third and final two-minute partition. 11-1, Schrake leading Seth Foote. Seth, I presume, the younger brother of Bo Foote, who we'll see at 285 pounds. Bo Foote has been giving Governor
285-pounders. Fitz for the last 3 years. Down to 40 seconds to go with Seth underneath. Shrake's got him in a good spot, although Chris Dozark is in our vantage point and kind of in the way, but should have a pretty good vantage point of what's going on in the live video stream. Shrake, there he goes. Foot. Had to clear his arm and to help ease a little bit of pain. Shrake really trying to leverage him down. Second period on short time. 5 seconds to go. I don't think he's going to get him pinned here, but boy, Ryland Shrake really showing his worth. 14-1, our score now. So Shrake, as a JV wrestler, certainly has been learning quite a lot in the room with what he's showing tonight. He'll have his matchups that are going to be very difficult, but it just looks to me like this guy can compete with just about anybody.
Oh, I'm expecting big things out of him, at least, if not even this year, but the years to come, because I mean, he's got the tools. Again, you're looking at a young kid that's put into a regular, a relatively heavy weight class, and that's not an easy feat, wrestling a lot of juniors and seniors and kids a little bit older and maybe a little bit more mature, but he's just going to keep developing into that body and keep developing into that weight class and start being able to utilize his tools, I think, a little bit more to his advantage. And we're seeing that here, so...
There will be competition, though, with Shrake and Stotts and Elijah Bucci. Chance Sarda still going to be in that mix. I don't think any one of them will ever get to 285, so they're just going to have to continue pushing each other.
Yeah, you go back to the competition in the room, and I mean, right. That's where you start. Look, whoever's going to be out on the mat right now, it's like, you know, they've been going one-on-one with each other in the room for the last 2.5 months, and again, they're going to be well prepared, no doubt.
Final minute of this match here, 14-1. It is all Ryland Shrake as he takes on Seth Foote here. The Governors lead the Colonels 10-9 in the duel. So Pierre trying to open some things up. Here's we get to the upper weight classes. Somebody lost a plug or something on the mat there, but we play on. 30 seconds to go. Now Foote coming after Shrake, but Shrake... Oh, he wanted to try something. He had the luxury of doing that, but Foote will come down with a 2-point takedown. Still a major margin for Ryland Shrake as he leads 14-3.
And there's a little inexperience. I mean, eventually that's something he'll learn to work out of. You know, he was basically one step out from maybe getting out of bounds and getting a fresh start again. And, you know, he tried maybe something he shouldn't have at that point in time, but he'll learn from that mistake. And eventually he'll build on that.
14-3, the final in that match. The Governors will tack on 4, and on the Wagner Auto scoreboard, they lead Mitchell 14-9. Now, I'm curious, though, does he try that move if he's got just a 7-5 lead or something?
Probably not. And you look at the time. I mean, you've got about 20 seconds left, 15 seconds of the match, realizing if it doesn't get it, then he's not out anything. If he does get it, then obviously we get the extra points on it. So not a bad time to hit that by any means.
220 pounds. We're up to Gavin Stotts for the Governors. Stotts, the junior, 23-15. He takes on Connor Deegan, the sophomore for the Colonels.
I think this is the position right here I've been most impressed with Pierre at tonight. We've been running our front heads really good, snapping, scoring from these positions quite a bit. Either one, it's been off of Mitchell's shots or even the situation of just, you know, like Gavin's doing right now. He got to that position on his own. So I really like seeing us and being able to score out of that position.
So Stotts coming after Deegan. Deegan got him flipped over, kind of disposed of him, but Stotts comes right back. They'll lock up again. Gavin wrapping up that head, but he wants to get in underneath, trying to find a way to get low to get one of those legs collected here. First minute gone by. Stotts with some quickness will move around. There's the first two of the match. Deegan quickly up on his feet, and Stotts not going to let him go. They're out of bounds. It'll remain 2-0. Now, I'll be honest with you, the thing I'm intrigued about here with the Bucci situation with Ryland Shrake coming up at 195, I've always thought Gavin, you know, he's just continued to have to cut weight. He played at about a 210-pound weight in football, and maybe, I don't know if this is a more fitting or a more comfortable weight class for him to be in, but I am kind of interested to see, as he's starting to get a little bit healthier himself, just what he's capable of in this weight class.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Like 95, 220, I think it's kind of a, I mean, every one of those weight classes can have, you know, again, some really good athletes, and it can have some athletes that may be just a little bit bigger. 220 could be the year they got some good athletes and sitting in there, and so you just don't know, obviously, until you get up there and I guess toe the line with those boys as well. But, you know, he's got the speed and he's got the quickness for those guys at 220. You know, what I would maybe probably say is one of his faults, what he's gotten really good at this year, is not taking shots that are putting him at a disadvantage. And so now it's about, you know, getting to a shot where I'm going to get outside. He did a really good job there, you know, getting to a front headlock and snapping down and not putting himself underneath those guys and letting his speed and quickness kind of, you know, overtake maybe, you know, a guy's size instead of trying to muscle up with them and going upstairs with them. So I think no matter where he goes, he's going to be better. I think 220 could be a nice little spot for him, like you said.
So first period done, second period underway. Stotts in the top. Connor Dagan in the down position. Stotts is keeping him belly down so far.
And the big thing will just be the weight change. I mean, you're used to wrestling guys that are, you know, a good 15 pounds, you know, lighter than, you know, 25 pounds lighter than what you're seeing right here. And so now it's just going to be, all right, you know, learning the body style and learning what can you do with the bigger guy, what can't you do with the bigger guy that maybe you're doing down at 95.
And you got more of a cushion between weight classes. You can start eating a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that energy, there's no doubt about
never,
it.
Underestimate.
No. What, I mean, psychological, you're talking mental game. There's a lot that goes into it.
Stotts continues to work up top here. Still 2-0. We're 1 minute into our second period. Gavin's starting to put some wins together, and I was just talking to his old man, Thomas, former governor heavyweight wrestler in the great class of 1990 here at Ringside Gym. We were in the same class. Tommy telling me, Gavin, he's been dealing with the bumps and bruises from football all season long, but starting to get a little bit better. He had a knee issue. He's had a broken nose this year and a toe problem, but hopefully all of that's starting to be a lot more comfortable here. Yep. Gavin's in some business now. He's got Dagan rolled over. Dagan rolled through it. Gavin's got to get him back.
And I thought last year for Gavin was a kind of a good breakout year for him and starting to do some good things and getting some win some big matches. And, you know, again, we're expecting a lot of good things out of him this year. And those injuries did kind of set him back, I think, a little bit on just getting that motor going, that confidence going. And you know, sitting out a week, coming back in, is never good for a wrestler, especially when you're kind of, you know, in the middle part of that season.
So we'll start the third period. No scoring there, but Gavin Stotts did ride out Connor Dagan that whole two-minute period. Dagan still with a goose egg on the scoreboard. Now Dagan trying to stay tight here on Gavin Stotts. He'll work up high. This is what we saw a lot of the Watertown Arrows in Huron last Thursday. They get an advantage on the scoreboard, and then they'll just leg ride you whole as long as you're not able to get them off of you.
And as a coach, I kind of like seeing that, you know, when you can pick apart a Mitchell team and not look at an individual and you start to develop, you know, a way to beat them at something that they're consistently doing, I think it's a lot better. I think it's a lot easier to try to win those matches knowing, hey, they're leg riders. Those are things that we can work on. Those are things that we can defend. You know, you always look at Mitchell as, you know, what are they doing, you know, tonight that we can utilize at the regional and the state tournament, you know, and possibly try to defeat these guys and work on a little bit more. So, you know, it's just, I think it's what can you use, you know, obviously against them that they're really good at and try to defend it.
Stotts, meanwhile, works into a reversal, and now he has Dagan rolled over, leading 4-0 and then some here. 40 seconds to wrestle third period, but Gavin Stotts suddenly
is most definitely in the driver's seat in this match. Steve Rounds underneath, going to slap the mat. That's a win by fall for Gavin Stotts in a time of 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Our first pin of the night. The Governors will open up a 20-9 lead over the Colonels. As we break for 30 seconds, back for 2:85 when we return to Peer Governor Wrestling.
Do you dream of a custom home built within your budget and done on time? Kruger Contracting can make that dream a reality. They're a trusted home builder since 2003, and they're going to be upfront and open about cost and transparent about where your money is going when it comes to your new home. Their skilled crew will manage construction of your new home from start to finish. They're located in Pierre and can build your home in Pierre, Fort Pierre, or the surrounding area. Call 605-222-2523. Visit KrugerContracting.com or find Kruger Contracting on Facebook.
24-second in, 285-pound Josh Rydberg back on the mat here for the Governors. 25-7 on the season, taking on one of the best in the state, the senior Bo Foote of the Mitchell Colonels. Bo Foote with a lot of good battles with the Governors' Preston Taylor for the last 3 years, but I think every time other than one, maybe two, he had the upper hand. He's got Josh Rydberg on the mat here in a two-point takedown, but Rydberg is on his knees and face down here. I think my question, and in watching this kid over the years who had to deal with the likes of Nash Hutmaker for a couple of those 3 years, and then last year, I can't remember who.
Navarro.
Oh, for sure. Shunky. Navarro Shunky. I wanted to ask, is this the year for Bo Foote? Not with Navarro Shunky.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But, you know, again, I mean, all these heavyweights have just kind of been in the shadow of, I would consider to be two pretty great heavyweight wrestlers and very unorthodox heavyweight wrestlers. I mean, it's what you're seeing in college right now as far as the speed and the quickness and being able to get to shots and, you know, he's gonna be able to beat 95% to 99% of the kids that he wrestles. But man, that the Shunky and obviously the Hutmakers of just tough opponents and sheer size. I mean, that's when you look at those two, it's just how big they are.
Yeah, Bull Foot here. He did let Rydberg up, so they finish off a first period 2-1. And Bo Foote, you can see his build, small, stocky, but a smaller heavyweight compared to Nash Hutmaker and to Navarro Shunky, too.
Keenan Scott, you're in the house. Keenan Scott, please report to the announcers. Keenan Scott.
So, second period, and Foote, as Rydberg was taking the choice to go into the down position, Rydberg squirming quite a bit here on his foot, pretty shifty.
I was just going to say, lose sight on Rydberg, man. I'm a huge fan of his right now and what he's been able to do this year and just the confidence that he's seeing, that we're seeing out of him, and just his style of wrestling has been a lot of fun to watch.
2-2 our score right now, 2-2, because Foote let Rydberg up to start this second period. And right now, I certainly hope so. With a minute seven, I just got a message. We were talking about Elijah Bucci. And, yeah, I'm definitely not. We're not giving up on
EJ. No way, we are.
We would love to have him back. We'll take the best of any one of those three guys for the rest of the season. Rydberg and Bo Foote. His foot takes his shot here in a bull rush. Has Rydberg on the back. Foote still in bounds, and Rydberg is pinned. He's out of bounds, but Foote stays in. And there, just like that, Bo Foote will counter a pin by Gavin Stotts with one of his own to defeat Josh Rydberg in the second period. And the Colonels will come right back within six. Your score on the Wagner Auto scoreboard, 20-15. We're about halfway through. We'll be halftime coming up in just a little bit. We'll come out to 106 as Alex Odakovin will take on Spencer L. Dean. Halftime in our broadcast brought to you by CHS River Plains, serving cities throughout Central South Dakota. We'll hear from them in just a little bit, but we're back to the little guys here at 106 pounds. We started this duel at 145, and we'll finish at 138. Brian Oakman with John Wayne Calda here, calling Governor Wrestling. First time we finally got you on the mic here, Coach. Good to have you.
And you're talking about Coach Lewis putting a circle around this day. Believe me, I was in his shoes as well. I was circling this day, excited to get back here.
For those that aren't aware, we wanted Coach Calda in the football press box, but he always had a hunting trip or something. it just hasn't worked. But we're looking forward to our state tournament coverage like we've been doing the last few years with Coach Calda and Coach Ryan Noyes as well. Speaking of circling dates.
Yeah, that's, again, something we Coach Noyes and myself, look forward to every year, getting back up there with you.
106 pounds, Alex Odekoven. Not able to make anything happen yet. Spencer Eldeen, a senior, a small senior, 16-11 on the year for Eldeen. I think this is a record that that we should not be fooled by. 16-11 is pretty good, but I think this guy's better than 16-11.
I mean, you start looking at maturity. You start looking at, you know, just the years that he's been wrestling. You know, just maybe a little bit more developmental-wise, just a little bit smarter on the mat in some situations you would expect from him. But, man, Alex Odekoven is just on a mission this year. It's fun to watch him wrestle.
Odekoven, the eighth grader, has a takedown. And he's got back points pending, but he's looking for more. He now has Eldeen in a tough spot. Eldeen trying to stay bridged out of it, and he's saved by the first period horn. Odekoven with a five-point move in late time. He'll lead 5-0. He'll defer with a choice in the second period, and Eldeen will take to the down, but... Again, we've seen good things from Spencer Eldeen, and I think Mitchell's been battling some injuries. I'm sure Eldeen has not been 100% for most of this season, and that probably has something to do with his 520, 530 win percentage or so. But, again, just a guy that knows what he's doing out there, but I think you just have to give the credit here to, as you mentioned, Alex Odekoven. Talk about the sky being the limit for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've had a lot of good wrestlers come through, and especially in the middle school ranks, and he's just one of those kids from the day that he stepped, you know, foot on the mat as a sixth grader to seventh grade. We've just seen such confidence out of him, and the length and just the quickness and the speed, and now he's starting to develop a little bit of strength on top of that. And he's really determined that, you know, he's got really – you know, high goals of what he wants to do in life, and especially in wrestling. And we're just seeing that he's going after him. He's doing everything he possibly can. He's doing it right.
Well, he kept a handle on that left wrist for quite a bit, and Eldeen's wrist was behind him quite a ways. And Odekoven lets him loose, now coming back, trying to cradle him up here. Pulling him back from the top of the mat. 45 seconds to go. Plenty of time and now plenty of space. And it's a pin for Alex Odekoven in a time of 3 minutes and 17 seconds. So 3 pins in a row. 2 for the Governors, 1 for the Colonels. Pierre leads the duel 26-15. Let's hear from CHS River Plains. Halftime here. We do have 5 matches to go. You're listening to Pierre Governor Wrestling.
Planning for next year is right around the corner. But do you know how much nutrients your crops will need? Fall soil sampling with CHS River Plains can help you look at each field's nutrient carryover, provide you with a more accurate farm plan, and allow you to take a position on those nutrients needed when you see fit. Plus, it'll make your life easier next spring when the planters are ready to roll and you don't have to wait. Contact your local CHS River Plains agronomist today, and we'll get the pickup headed your way.
Lincoln Schoenhardt taking on Cruz Alheiser. Alheiser is a junior for the Mitchell Colonels. Schoenhardt still just an eighth grader. 17-13 on the season. Alheiser at 13-18. A win by fall for Alex Odekoven. He improves to 34-8. And he, as we mentioned earlier, the reigning Peer Area Coaches Association Athlete of the Week for Governor Sports.
on the boys' side of things. And now Schoenhardt, after a quick blood timeout, an Actegra timeout in this 113-pound match, a takedown coming right back for Schoenhardt, but Alheiser will break free, and Schoenhardt will give him a point. 2-1 now, Lincoln Schoenhardt leading. As Alheiser comes in low, but over to the left side of the mat, and they're out of bounds to reset to the middle once again. Wrestlers will always deal with bumps and bites and bruises, and not many people have dealt with them as much as this young guy right here, Lincoln Schoenhardt.
Yeah, I was going to go back to, you know, we're talking about, you know, obviously some of their guys a little bit bruised up, and every team's got that going on right now. You talk about Stotts, you talk about Bucci, and, you know, here's another kid that's been in and out of the lineup all year and hasn't been able to really, you know, kind of get in that swing of things. And, you know, you're just hoping for a good couple weeks for him just to get his mental side back and confidence back and keep doing what we know he can do.
Looking strong here. He's got another two for a takedown, another three for the near fall. So a 7-1 lead now is Lincoln Schoenhardt. Doing a good job here late in the first period, 15 seconds counting them down.
I think I'm most impressed watching Otakov and watching him go right now is just the chain wrestling that they're doing. They're not forcing hardly anything, and they're just kind of taking what's given to them and capitalizing. And you see it right here again, just coming out and scoring points on him.
Oh, Schoenhardt couldn't quite get him turned over there. That was a pretty good move, looking good at that point. But first period comes to an end. We'll go to a second two-minute period, and after Mitchell defers, this will be Lincoln Schoenhardt's choice, and a good one at that to stay on his feet. Had a couple of takedowns already and went feet to back in that second one, and now he's got another takedown here. 9-1 as Lincoln Schoenhardt opens up a major decision margin. Got that left leg up in the air. Grabs Alheiser, gets him back on the mat.
You go back to original conversation of the competition in the room. I mean, and here you got a kid like Schoenhardt who is probably every day wrestling with a kid like Otakov. Then you start looking above him. You got the Williams, you know, that he's wrestling with. It's like you don't get a lot of days off when you're in the room with those guys.
Lincoln working on the edge of the mat, downside here. Not much room to work with unless he pulls him back, but as Alheiser tries to get to his feet, Schoenhardt will push him away, and they'll come back and reset. First minute gone by, second period here. Driven by the Office of Highway Safety, the state of South Dakota, reminding us all, you booze, you cruise, you lose. You're listening to Peer Governor Wrestling on your official voice of Governor Sports. Stations of DRG Media Group, including 1060 AM, 103.1 FM, KGFX. Live streaming with the help of Live Ticket on the KGFX page of the DRG News app and drgnews.com. With John Calder, Brian Oakland, play-by-play, this is the first half of our Governor Sports doubleheader tonight. Not very often we get a chance to do wrestling followed by a basketball game, but we've got high school girls basketball coming up. Governor's taking on the Huron Tigers. Second period here for Lincoln Schoenhardt, leading 9-1. Now 2 points added on another takedown, so it's 11-2. Tail end of the period, but out of bounds. They'll have to go finish it the last 3 seconds back to the middle. Peer leading the duel, 26-15. This match plus four more still to be decided. The math of the duel is not done yet. But if the Governors can get a victory in this one, they'll certainly be in pretty good shape. Especially if Schoenhardt keeps a major decision going. At least 11-2, we start the third. This one would have been Mitchell's choice, so Cruz Alheiser stays in the down. And I think for Alheiser, probably choosing down, not necessarily expecting to get up and out, but more so trying to make Lincoln Schoenhardt work a little harder for some more points. Lincoln pulling that ankle up. He's trying to curl that leg, but now as Alheiser is a little closer to neutral here. As they go out of bounds, they'll have to reset, though. Just kind of figured Alheiser would take to the curl up and stay tight mentality there.
I mean, it's kind of like either one as a coach, you're expecting maybe Schoenhardt to cut him and get him 1 point back and go from there, or you're just basically looking at a way maybe to get through the third period without having any points scored upon you as well.
11-3 now, an escape given to Cruz Alheiser. Schoenhardt comes in trying to get an ankle pick. He'll have to get him back in the middle and not able to do that. He'll have to try that again, perhaps. 53 seconds to wrestle. Third period, Alheiser comes in quickly. And Schoenhardt now, the one with the leg up in the air. Alheiser just needs to get spun around. And there it is. A two-point takedown for the Mitchell wrestler, and suddenly you've got a six-point match, and Schoenhardt has lost his major margin. 20 seconds to go. 11-5, Schoenhardt still leading. As Alheiser continues to spin. 10 seconds. So instead of... Well, there's an escape awarded. That makes it 7. 12-5. Schoenhardt, if he can get a two-second takedown, he comes after him, but backing off, and he'll settle for the decision. 12-5, still a good match for Schoenhardt to put the Governors on top, 29-15 in the duel as we pause for 30 seconds. It's 120 pounds next in Governor Wrestling on KGFX.
May Adam Law Firm of Pierre offers superior legal representation. Clients can be assured their legal matter will be handled with expertise and the utmost professionalism. May Adam Law Firm skilled South Dakota lawyers can take care of your family law, estate planning, real estate law, or personal injury. May Adam Law Firm is able to help you plan and prepare to make matters easy now and into the future, too. Call 224-8803. May Adam Law Firm of Pierre, since 1881.
And we're back at Riggs High Gym as 120 pounds up next. Noah Williams for the Governors on the mat taking on Caleb Hubbard. And it's Hubbard who will strike first at the 125 mark of the first period. Caleb Hubbard, 16-16, has had his ups and downs. Noah Williams seems to have his as well, but still... A nice 29-16 mark so far on the season. But it's Hubbard working on Williams as Williams trying to get his head out of the way here. Hubbard still has him with that right elbow locked up. Well, I tell you, you look at this from a distance, it looked like Noah Williams was ready to make his move. Now he is out, but Caleb Hubbard had him locked up pretty well.
Yeah, Peterson was there, just needed Williams to pop his hips underneath him a little bit more, just wasn't able to do that. But you know, luckily getting out of there, getting his one. And
so the escape to Williams makes it 2-1. Hubbard still leading, still neutral here as Noah Williams coming after Hubbard. Near the edge, though.
A nice scramble.
10 seconds to go. Williams looking for two, and he's given it. Well, he got the legs. And Noah Williams will take the 3-2 lead with just a few seconds to go in the first period. 3-2-1. Quick roll. Oh, and Mitchell wants a... They wanted a reversal there.
I was watching Coach Lewis. I didn't even see what happened there.
Well, actually, in the last three, they had 3 seconds when they reset, and Caleb Hubbard kind of went for a spin, and when he came up, I believe Noah Williams, well, according to the Mitchell coaches, it looked like they were asking, obviously, for a reversal, but Steve Round says no. The horn sounded first. So Williams in the up position here as we start the second period. 30 seconds in, hasn't lost control here. It's still 3-2, but Hubbard up on his feet. There's that roll. It's spinning roll again, but Williams ready for it this time. But now Hubbard with a two-point reversal. And it is Noah Williams now on his back. Williams didn't collect any back points himself, it appears. And potentially dangerous is going to be ruled here. So three back points added to the two-point reversal for Caleb Hubbard.
Now leads 7-3.
Quite a move there. You said scrambling, and that's I think Hubbard's doing a pretty good job of that here.
Yeah, I get a feeling we're not done scoring points in this match yet.
7-3. Now Williams tries to somersault through, but maybe another opportunity, and now he's giving Hubbard a taste of his own medicine, and Williams has, well, he had a headlock. Still has it in some form, but he's got to kind of bring Hubbard back to him and try to roll him over inside. But another potentially dangerous here, and Coach Sean Lewis needs to ask for clarification. So two-point reversal goes to Noah Williams. The score stands at 7-5 with Caleb Hubbard still in the lead. What is Coach asking about here?
I think we're questioning some back points there. And I think Coach Lewis is in the right there. The first series, I think he might have got two swipes, didn't get them. Back over here on the mat, I would say there was probably two swipes. But obviously Steve is... Mr. Rollins is thinking a little bit differently, so
Hubbard gets out. He'll get an escape. We've got a good one going here. Under 30 seconds to go. Second period, 8-5. John Calder, you're right about more points still yet to be scored here as Williams gets a two-point takedown, but now it'll be Hubbard getting a reversal as they go out of bounds. So two for each. And Caleb Hubbard still leads 10-7. Noah just having a hard time keeping a hold of Caleb Hubbard. Anything he's able to make happen, Hubbard is getting out of it. But now a quick reversal here for Williams. Couple of slipperies here. 10-9 as we'll go to the third period. Governors lead the duel 29-15. Four matches yet to be decided, this one included. So the duel is still very much in question as to who will win the duel. But as we start the third period, neutral, Hubbard allowing Williams up. So we've got a 10-10 tie. Hubbard pushes Williams aside, but out of bounds, and he comes after him. They'll have to go back and reset.
And you got a combination of just kids not giving in. You know, they're fighting not, you know, in every situation that they possibly can. You're also starting to look at some situations where, you know, maybe you want to get to some a little bit more, I don't know if you want to call them stable shots, or maybe a little bit more where you got secure of the guy versus, you know, trying to throw something a little bit more unorthodox where you know you're going to get two out of it, but you may also give up a reversal in the meanwhile.
Got to get locked up tighter here if you can get something in. Now Williams coming after him. Ten to start the third, and for the longest stretch of this match now, hard to believe we've gone 55 seconds with nobody scoring in this third period. Williams looking for one leg.
Good shot.
Got him. Back. Hubbard is over. Two-point takedown and Hubbard on his back. Noah Williams takes his first lead in this match, actually since 3-2. 40 seconds to wrestle. Williams
trying to stay strong. I believe he's got the 5 second near fall. Maybe looking for another one here.
Haven't awarded three yet, so
nope.
Got to go back, look for the pin here.
But the more time that runs off, the more Noah Williams gets the decided advantage in this third period until Hubbard gets a two-point reversal. So a five-point move for Williams, but now a two-point reversal for Caleb Hubbard. But time is going to run out on Caleb Hubbard. A great, entertaining match, but Noah Williams wins it 15-12. And the Governors lead the duel 32-15. 30 seconds and up next, 126 pounds. You're listening to Peer Governor Wrestling.
Hey, it's the Old Top Gator here with Gators. Pizza, pasta, subs in the Northridge Plaza. Ready to try something new and tasty? Pop on out and try Gator's new Eastern Indian Curry Chicken Pasta or Pizza. An aromatic bouquet of an amazing flavorful sauce accompanied with our gourmet garlic chicken, Parmesan cream sauce, then topped with fire-roasted peppers and onions, and then grated Parmesan cheese. Spice level is super low on this item. Gator's has dine-in, carry-out, curbside pickup, or delivery through DoorDash.
Gotta go to Gator's Pizza Pasta Sauce.
Up at 126 pounds, Noah Williams already has a takedown on 7th grader Penn Long of the Mitchell Colonels. Williams with a mark of 28-15 on the season. Penn Long 8-24, but Penn Long was a little quite aggressive actually to start this match. Williams was able to get him taken down. He's got the 2-0 lead. 45 seconds in, 1:15 to go, first period. Williams trying to roll over Penn Long here, but Long staying flat. Now curling up just a bit. Williams, there you go. Got him cradled up. There's a pin. Quickly done for Nate Williams in a time of 1 minute and 16 seconds. Seemed like he was just trying to do all that with just the left arm, but he did have that match in control pretty much the whole way.
Yeah, he did a good job coming across, getting that cradle locked up, and going suicide on it, getting the pin.
This ought to be a good one here. 132 pounds, they're ready to go. Tristan Spencer, the sophomore for the Governors, taking on Brock Sparks. Sparks 26-5, the senior for the Mitchell Colonels. Once again, we'll say it. You talk about guys who've been around a long time. Brock Sparks and his brother Brandon, who will come up in our next and final weight class, been a couple of staples in the Mitchell wrestling room for a number of years. Sparks working with Spencer to get him upended after that right leg was up in the air. First points scored here by Brock Sparks. Well, the pin for Nate Williams does clinch the duel for the Governors, 38-15. They have the lead now with just two weight classes to go. So Pierre will finish the season 11-3 in duels and 6-2. Against ESD opponents. 1 minute in. As Spencer got a one-point escape, it is 2-1. They'll run out of bounds and come back to the middle. Saw Tristan Spencer and Huron really hobbling a little bit, and we were kind of concerned that, you know, just another guy that's dealing with wrestling injuries at this time of the year, and you kind of got to wrestle through him. That's exactly what he's doing, but there was, for me at least, as he'll get taken down again, I think there was a little cause for concern as to, to how healthy Tristan Spencer was the other night.
You know, but you got to remember what Tristan does in the off season, or maybe what he maybe he wrestles in the off season and he rodeos, you know, in his majority of the time. You know, in his mentality or in his dad's mentality, it's just cowboy up and just fight through the.
There's something for Tristan Spencer. Tristan got him locked up. Thrown down, but now as they go out of bounds, Brock Sparks runs out of room. The officials will confer here. Tristan Spencer is going to get a two-point takedown. And also a two-point near fall, but as Brock Sparks was looking to reverse him, he runs out of room. And now Tristan Spencer has a 6-4 lead. Just as you're talking about rodeo, he rodeoed up on that move, yeah. Did Spencer. So Tristan in the up control as the first period comes to an end. 6-4, Tristan Spencer, his choice, but he'll defer. Brock Sparks here will take to the down. You know, if the Governors are going to score points in the postseason in their tournament formats, I think, you know, there's certain weight classes you expect a lot of points to be scored, and I think at 132 you expect points to be scored, but you're really just hoping for a lot more than, I think you're assuming a certain amount. Everybody, you'll hope for a lot more, but I think the possibility is there for Tristan Spencer to really make a lot of things happen in the postseason.
Yeah, I think it's endless. You know, I think there's a lot of things he needs to work on yet as a wrestler, just young, but just his attitude, I mean, is going to take him so far, not only in wrestling, but just in life, and just he's not afraid to go toe-to-toe with anybody in the state right now, and, you know, he gets in situations where maybe he's down, but he's never out of them.
Obviously, when he works his way through Region 3A, he'll still have Brock Sparks to tangle with. Sparks has gotten a reversal here in the second period. Now a minute in, we've got a 6-6 match. Spencer, close to getting out of it, and maybe even more. And that's a two-point reversal for Tristan Spencer. And now forcing Brock Sparks' arm over, but they'll be out of bounds, and they'll get back points for Tristan Spencer as well. So Tristan Spencer with a 10-6 lead. 40 seconds to wrestle second period. Still a lot of time to go in this match. Spencer in the up once again. Trying to keep the legs locked here. Sparks trying to at least get that right, that left foot cleared. Spencer working more with the right ankle instead. Tristan Spencer looks plenty healthy tonight so far. Spencer seems to be biding his time here, and a good job of it. The last 20 seconds will tick away, and Spencer in control. He leads 10-6 against a highly ranked Brock Sparks of the Mitchell Colonels. Spencer comes to the middle. Now after deferring, he gets choice, but Brock Sparks will let him up, so tack on another point to Tristan Spencer. This could be really fun to watch Brock Sparks work, because obviously he's going to have to come after him, trailing by 5. But it'll be equally fun to see what Spencer can do in fighting him off here.
Yeah, you kind of, I mean, you don't question it, but you just kind of wonder what's he thinking going to speed. Obviously, he's got 5 points to make up, and you know, realizing.
Looking for a throw, yeah, but it's Spencer who gets him down. 2-point takedown. 13-6. As it gets tougher and tougher for Brock Sparks. Out of bounds, back to the middle, 124 to wrestle. Spencer, you know, in Huron, he would get up off the mat and he'd hobble his way. And it was almost painful to watch him walk. But this time tonight, he looks pretty good.
Hey, he looks pretty healthy tonight.
Sparks trying to find his way out. I think Spencer would still like to score a little bit more, but right now, to use the college term, he'll take riding
time.
Yeah,
I got to imagine right now, I mean, he's just looking at trying to maintain good body position, and if you get points out of it, great. Just don't do anything, you know, stupid to get yourself in a bad situation.
Four seconds on the count of a near fall. 2 more points for Tristan Spencer as Sparks then works his way out. Now 15-7. Tristan Spencer leading Brock Sparks.
on the reset from being out of bounds, 40 seconds to wrestle. I got to tell you, don't be surprised that Tristan Spencer might win this match, but be surprised at the point margin. Sparks gets a takedown. Spencer again just stalling without being called for it. Another escape here, 16-9, as Sparks has to keep coming after him. Spencer checks the score and the time, 8 seconds left. 16, make it 17-11. Spencer grabs one more time. Takedown to finish this off. What a match for Tristan Spencer. And it turns into a major decision after all. 19-11, your score in the duel, or in the match. The Governors will lead 41-15 with one match to go. We'll take 30, and Blake Judson and Brandon Sparks coming up to close this duel off. You're listening to Peer Governor Wrestling.
Smart grocery shopping takes a little bit of TLC. Lynn's Dakota Mart in Pierre is thrifty, local, and convenient. Lynn's Dakota Mart prides itself on their fresh produce, high-quality meats, and bakery goods. Grab some Caribou coffee while you shop, too. Lynn's Dakota Mart features a nice selection of beer, wines, and liquor. Stop at Dakota Mart Gas and save up to 20 cents per gallon every day. Take care of your prescription needs at Lynn's Dakota Mart Good Neighbor Pharmacy. Thrifty, local, convenient. Lynn's Dakota Mart in Pierre, your hometown neighborhood market.
Back at Riggs High Gym with our final match underway. Blake Judson wrestling for the Governors. 138 pounds, Judson 36-5 on the year, taking on Brandon Sparks. Brandon 20-12 on the season. Senior for the Colonels. And there's the first takedown here for Blake Judson. Chris Dozark officiating this final match. We'll rule them out of bounds. They'll go back to begin once again. You know, never ceases to amaze me. As a twin myself, you see twins who come out and wrestle. Of course, the Governors had the Terman twins. They've got the Williams twins. Mitchell has the Sparks twins here. And there's no better wrestling partner than your twin brother.
No, not at all. I mean, even when you've got brothers that are, you know, I can even throw sisters into the mix, and you know, these days that are somewhat close to age, it's, you know, just that ongoing battle that happens well before you probably even think about wrestling, and just the constant competition that goes on between them, I'm sure just has helped develop them.
You know, and if they're like my brother and me, I'm sure they got into some wrestling matches that escalated a little more.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Don't have refs in some of those matches.
Here's Judson cradling up Brandon Sparks. 5 seconds to go. Can he get a finish here in the first period? Doesn't look like he will. He tried to use his own foot to get that foot of Sparks back closer to the mat. But a good job by Blake Judson, who takes that 5-0 lead to the second period. And he'll take to the down with the choice. As I started to learn the sport of wrestling, I realized that you cannot push your thumbs into your brother's eye sockets. It's an illegal move.
There are some things they frown upon a little bit in the sport, yep.
Here's Brandon Sparks with a nice reversal on Blake Judson. Judson did not wrestle at the Yankton Invite, again saving the number of weigh-ins over the course of the season. Look at this move. No, it didn't finish. Instead, it Sparks with Judson now on his back. Boy, Brandon Sparks, a good job fighting that one off. Judson's going to fight his way out of this one, but 3 back points to Brandon Sparks. That made it 5-3. Now an escape for Judson to go 6-3. As I was going to mention, didn't wrestle in Yankton, but the last time Blake Judson was on the mat in Watertown, or in Huron, against Connor Hansman of Watertown, he was upset 3-2. Well, he did get a win over his Huron opponent after that, but after a takedown here, Judson leads 8-3. Have you been in the the circles a little bit to hear any talk about Blake's loss. A little surprised the other night. Obviously a good wrestler and handsman, but just something that we didn't see coming. And I actually, from my point of view, thought Blake was a little under the weather, but it doesn't sound like that was the case.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier in our talk. Just, you know, the team as a whole just, I don't think was really ready there to compete that night. And, you know, we saw Wiebe had a good couple matches there, but I think just as a whole, you know, they just mentally weren't there. And, you know, again, it you go back to that duel, it's probably one they like to get back, and I don't know what it's going to do for seeding purposes and such, but you know, again, when it matters, I fully feel that boys will be ready to go. And if he gets that matchup again, I think it's going to go differently.
There was a stalling warning to the Mitchell wrestler there, but as the second period comes to an end, Blake Judson, who was on his back for 5 seconds at one point, coming back at it, starting neutral here and in a pretty good spot, even though he hasn't gained control as of yet, to score here in the third period. And there it is, two-point takedown, now leading 10-3. Final match of the night. Don't forget girls basketball coming up. Normally we would have had a 6:30 pregame on that, but they'll have to clear the mats, and our girls basketball contest, instead of a 7 o'clock tip, will probably be closer to 7:30 or so. Of course, coming up here on KGFX. Meanwhile, Governor boys basketball in here on David Burrell with the call on that one on River 92.7 getting underway right about now. Blake Judson leading 10-3. Once again, Brian Oakland with play-by-play. John Wayne Calda alongside. Final competition for the Governors here in the regular season. Their next action will be next Saturday. Two Saturdays from now, the Region 3A, which will be hosted by Milbank. So nothing like traveling as far as you can within the region to do some 10 o'clock wrestling. Of course, we'll be there for coverage on that here on KGFX. And then the following weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, February 24th through the 26th, we will have state tournament coverage. 35 seconds to go. Third period still now 10-4. And Sparks was given an escape. Blake Judson looking for more. Wants a major margin. He'll get it if he has a takedown, but he hasn't gotten that done yet. And Blake Judson with the leg, and now clear for two. State tournament, the individual brackets Thursday and Friday, and the dual tournament will be Saturday all by itself. So I think they finally got that right.
Yep.
12-4, Blake Judson will win our final match of the night. And your final score on the Wegner Auto scoreboard, the Governors defeat the Mitchell Colonels by the score of 45-15. The Governors end their season in duels 11-3 with a 6-2 mark in conference. Mitchell pulls even at 8-8. They're 2-4 in the ESD. We'll take a 3-minute timeout, and we'll come back and give you the full recap. We'll talk with Coach Sean Lewis when we return as well. The wrestling postgame to be followed by girls basketball pregame when we return in 3 minutes. Pure Governor Wrestling is on your official voice of the Governors, River 92 KGFX, AM 103.1 FM, and drgnews.com.
This Governor Sports Moment is brought to you by the independent insurance team at Fisher Rounds and Associates of Pierre. Brevin Kaiser is one of just a handful of athletes that were true stars in different sports. A 3-time All-State player in basketball and 2-time All-State football player, plus player of the year his senior season. Brevin Kaiser, truly one of Pierre's finest. This Governor Sports Moment has been brought to you by the independent insurance team at Fisher Rounds and Associates of Pierre.
Top of the morning, TMA. This John, may help you.
At TMA, top-notch service begins the moment you call for an appointment. John at TMA believes in customer service and quality work. When you need tires repaired or replaced, TMA is the place to go. Just remember, if it's round, rubber, and rolls, it's at TMA. You can count on TMA for all of your automotive needs, from tires to mufflers to all automotive repairs. Call TMA at 224-6167, and your service begins with...
Top of the morning, TMA. This John, may help you.
South Dakota didn't always have a capital.
or even a permanent settlement for that matter. There wasn't always a river city on the Missouri River. And before First Dakota filed the first charter in 1872, there wasn't always a bank in South Dakota. Every timeless institution, tradition, and thriving business was started somewhere by someone who had a dream and the passion to make it happen first. What will be your South Dakota first? Visit firstdakota.com/first. Member FDIC.
10 cents off per gallon. That's right. Get 10 cents off per gallon at the corner station in Pier. Every time you pay with cash or check, you receive 10 cents off the posted price of gas for your vehicle. Save more by going inside the corner station and shopping specials on beverages and snacks. And when you purchase 8 gallons of gas, you earn discounts at car washes, helping you save the corner station just above the train bridge in Pier.
At Capital City Campus, we believe getting an education close to home should be available for everyone. Registration is currently open for our spring semester SDSU courses taught right here at the Capital City Campus in Pier. We are proud to partner with Lake Area Technical College for their LPM program and Dakota Wesleyan University for their new Learn and Earn program. Visit capitalcitycampus.org for more information. We are a proud supporter of Pier Governor Athletics. Go Govs!
With Venture Communications Advanced Fiber Internet, you have access to the internet speeds you need for the best online experiences with ultra-fast download and upload speeds, all at affordable rates. Offering solutions for home office networks, extremely heavy home usage, work-from-home households, and heavy streaming or gaming. With all equipment provided and maintained by Venture Communications for worry-free use. To get extreme Wi-Fi coverage, whether you venture in or around your home, contact Venture Communications, 852-2224, or online at www.venturecom.net.
Welcome back to Rick's High Gym as our wrestling duel is done and the second half of our Governor Sports doubleheader coming up with girls basketball in just a little bit. The Governor girls will take on the Huron Tigers. Meanwhile, the Governor boys on the wrestling mat have defeated the Mitchell Colonels by the score of 45-15. There were no girls matches. Mitchell does not have a girls wrestling squad put together, at least not yet. But good duel for the Governors as they close out their regular season. Now all that's left is region wrestling from 3A at Millbank on Saturday, February 19th, and then the state tournament in Sioux Falls the following weekend. A good night for the Governors, though, as they will win 11 out of 14 matches. Mitchell very productive in the three matches that they did win. That started, as we do the recap, started at 145 pounds as Jagger Tyler, the junior, gets a technical fall victory over Chase Sarda, 16-1, and that was in the second period, if I remember correctly. Tyler, very good-looking wrestler tonight, 5-0. Mitchell started in the lead. Deegan Huska comes back, athlete versus athlete, as he defeats Tucker Villhauer 6-2. The Governor's on the board with their first 3 points, still trailing 5-3 at that point, up to 160 pounds as Jaden Wiebe gets a 7-3 win over Connor Thielen. And then the Governors, with two in a row, took their first lead of the night at 6-5. Never relinquished it as Lucas Chamberlain picks up a major decision victory as well, 16-4, as the lead advanced to 10-5 at 182 pounds. Up comes Jovan Overshield to the Colonels. He gets a 14-2 win over Chance Sarda this evening. And Mitchell, with those four on the major decision, cut it back to a 10-9 deficit. But then Ryland Schrake with a good performance this evening, 14-3. He defeats Seth Foote, and your score 14-9 as Pier led by 5 again. They add to that lead when Gavin Stotts gets a win by fall over sophomore Connor Dagan. 5.5 minutes the time on that one, and it was 20-9 in favor of the Governors. Mitchell gets their first and only win by fall, though, at heavyweight, as Bo Foote will pin Joshua Reitberg in the second period. And the win by a fall for Gavin Stotts, countered by the pin by Bo Foote. But then we roll over the lineup at 106 pounds, and Alex Odekoven comes up with a pin of his own as he defeats Spencer Aldean in 3 minutes and 17 seconds. The Governors led by 11 again at 26-15, and they win all the rest of the matches after that, including Lincoln Schoenhardt, a 12-5 decision over Cruz Alheiser. That made it 29-15 at 120 pounds. Noah Williams gets a 15-12 entertaining win over Caleb Hubbard. And that makes it 32-15. Nate Williams with a 116 win by fall over Penn Long makes it 38-15. And then Tristan Spencer, 19-11, a bit of an upset win over Brock Sparks. The senior for Mitchell makes it 41-15. And finally, Blake Judson, a 12-4 major decision victory over Brandon Sparks as the Governors defeat the Colonels tonight 45-15. Our basketball players are on the floor, so we're going to abbreviate our post-game show. But, of course, we've got the player of the game to talk about in on our KGFX broadcast. And the player of the game is brought to you by Bauman Lumber in Fort Pierce. So let's hear from them, and we'll come back and give you the player of the game as we'll then head into our girls' basketball pregame. Governor Sports is on KGFX.
When you need building supplies, there's no need to go anywhere except to Bauman Lumber in Fort Pierre. Bauman Lumber is locally owned and offers quality products, expert advice, free estimates, and free local delivery for large or small projects. Whether it's a home improvement project, remodel job, or all new construction, they even welcome special orders. Quality building materials and affordable prices for residential or commercial projects can be found at Bauman Lumber, 1223 Sale Barn Road, Fort Pierre, or call 223-9762.
Bauman Lumber with player of the game, as certainly the Governors with plenty of nominees tonight. You've got a pretty good victory for Deegan Huska. Lucas Chamberlain with an impressive major decision. Certainly like what Rylan Schrake brought to the table at 195 tonight. Gavin Stotts gets a win by fall. So does Alex Odekoven. Noah Williams wins a back-and-forth match. Lincoln Schoenard looks good. Nate Williams, of course, doing what he's supposed to do, as did Blake Judson. But, boy, Tristan Spencer with his 19-11 win over Brock Sparks tonight, a major decision. No doubt about it, tonight Tristan Spencer, the sophomore at 132 pounds, is our Bauman Lumber player of the game, helping the Governors defeat the Mitchell Colonels 45-15 tonight. So Tristan Spencer gets the Bauman Lumber and KGFX Sports t-shirt, noting his accomplishments. And again, up next for both Colonels, as they will host a triangular with Watertown and Brandon Valley coming up on Thursday night. Then they and the Governors move into Region 3A wrestling next Saturday, February 19th, starting at 10 o'clock. Coverage of that tournament, as well as other Class B region tournament action, will be right here on KGFX. But that does it for our post game for Governor Wrestling. Your final score on the Wagner Auto scoreboard: Pierre 45 and Mitchell 15. Thanks to John Wayne Calda for coming up and covering the color duties tonight. And we'll hear from him when we get to the state tournament once again with coverage of Governor Wrestling here on 1060 KGFX. Time to take a quick break, and we'll have a conversation to start off keys to success in girls basketball. The Pierre Governors take on the Huron Tigers after a two-minute timeout. You're listening to Pierre Governor Basketball and Pierre Governor Sports on your official voice of the Governors, KGFX and DRGNews.com.